From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carol Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. We have got a great show for you today. Insult comic Lisa Lampanelli will be joining us later to play Not My Job. But first, ladies and gentlemen, let me state again what you already know. Carl Castle is back here with us. Now, there were some rumors over the last month that Carl merely was wasting his vacation on a beach somewhere. In fact, Carl was here in Chicago laying the groundwork with voters. Offering some preliminary bribes. Because you know what this city needs? No, not a functioning democracy. We need a guy with a deeply resonant, trustworthy voice. For example, scenario number one. What if the city is paralyzed by a freak snowstorm?
Citizens of Chicago, man your sleds.
See? Problem solved. But before he takes over the second city, he's ready to talk to the first caller. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. What's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Jen calling from Fargo, North Dakota.
Hey, how are things in Fargo?
They're pretty good.
What do you do there?
I'm in pharmacy school.
You're a pharmacy student in Fargo?
Yes.
Fabulous. Jennifer, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a Second City and Colbert Report alum, Mr. Peter Gross, here on our panel.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Next, say hello to an actor, a writer, a comedian, and contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Ms. Faith Saley.
Hi, Jen.
And lastly, a humorist whose compilation, It's Just Like I Told You, 25 Years of Comments and Comic Pieces, is available at iTunes and Audible.com. I'm talking about Mr. Tom Baudet.
Hello again.
Hello.
Hey, Jennifer, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle will now recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your home voicemail. Ready to go?
Yes.
Here is your first quote.
You know it's a bad idea if Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin are agreeing with Obama over it.
That was from the blog Death and Taxes, referring to an event that was planned for this weekend. What was it?
The burning of Quran.
Right, the big Quran bonfire. We are happy to announce America finally has a new national moron. Pastor Terry Jones of Florida. At the end of the week, filled with commentary, controversy, and so on and so forth, Pastor Jones canceled the event because he says he spoke to Faisal Ralph, the guy who wants to build the mosque in Lower Manhattan, and Ralph assured him that he would move the mosque. Now, Ralph says he never spoke to Jones at all and is not planning to move the mosque. Isn't it great that the voice in Pastor Jones' head turned out to be a Muslim?
I just hope that this increases the membership of his church from 30 to, like, 32.
Oh, that would be big for him.
35.
That'd be amazing.
I mean, when was the last time, like, a few dozen lunatics in Florida dictated world events? Never mind.
Now, we were amazed and impressed and, let's be honest, envious about how he got all this attention, 24-hour news coverage, calls from the Secretary of Defense, a plea from the President. We have never been able to generate that kind of buzz ourselves. Yeah. Until now. We are announcing that in order to express our true feelings and exercise our First Amendment rights, next Saturday we're going to burn the collected works of beloved public radio icon Garrison Keillor. You know why? God hates folksy. So we're willing to cancel this event if the President, General Petraeus, and Angelina Jolie all ask us nicely. And also, Miss Jolie, Carl would like to be adopted. All right, Jennifer, here is your next quote.
They talk about me like a dog.
That was somebody finally showing some annoyance about how his political opponents treat him. Who?
Would it be our President Barack
Obama?
Yes,
it would be President Obama. They talk about me like a dog, he said. So the president finally gets angry and he lashes back at his critics and makes no sense at all. Does he think they talk about him as if he were a dog? Well, that makes us wonder how the president treats his dog. Bad dog, Bo. You're destroying the American way of life. Now sit and show me your birth certificate. What? Or did he mean Republicans are talking about him as if they, the Republicans, are dogs? Congressman Boehner, how do things look for the American people under this president? Ruff! When the president plays golf, where does he usually hit the ball? Ruff! What's in the top of the House of Representatives? Well,
dome!
Jennifer, your last quote is a classic bit of oratory from a mayor who this week announced he'd soon be stepping down.
Scrutiny? What else do you want? Do you want to take my shorts? Give me a break. Go scrutinize yourself. I get scrutinized every day, don't worry, from each and every one of you. It doesn't bother me.
Who was a little bit more restrained when he announced this week he would not be running for re-election?
It sounds like Mayor Daley.
Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago, yes. That's right. People from other cities, which are democracies, might be puzzled by how a modern American city can be ruled by one man for 21 years and then his son for another 21. Well, it all began in ancient prehistory when the sun god gave birth to the first Mayor Daley and decreed we should be ruled by his bloodline forever.
No, I mean, it is. It's a quaint tradition how they elect their mayor in this town where all the precinct bosses and the mob bosses, they pile into the Palmer house.
Yeah.
And then they send black smoke up the chimney when, exactly. when they've made their decision.
White smoke.
Hey, Bamos mayor! Yeah.
The funny thing is, it's like a dam breaking. They're involved in these politicians in town whose ambitions were stifled because they couldn't be mayor. As long as he was mayor, they couldn't be mayor. And now they're all coming out of the woodwork. And all these people are putting forward their names. And for example, among them, that would be wonderful. But here's a real example. Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., he might run. And his wife, Sandy Jackson, she's an alderman here in Chicago, she might run. We hope they both run against each other because the ads would be great. Can a man who won't pick up his own dirty underwear lead the city of Chicago? Chicago, she never listens to my needs. Why would she listen to yours?
I think it's going to be unusual for people in Chicago to call the new mayor something else. So they should just call, like, if it's Jesse Jackson Jr., it should be like Mayor Daley Jackson Jr.
Exactly. They should
just rename the title.
It'd be like Caesar.
Yeah.
It goes the name to a title.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Mayor Daley Jackson, what are your plans in the post-Mayor Daley era?
Carl, how did Jennifer do in our quiz?
Jennifer was great, Peter. Three correct answers. Jennifer, you win our prize.
Well done, Jennifer. Thank you so much. Thanks for playing.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
We want to remind everybody they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, go to chicagopublicradio.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Tickets for our October 7th and 8th shows at Carnegie Hall go on sale Monday morning, so man your computers, people. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about the week's news. Faith, those 33 miners trapped underground in Chile, they're safe and sound. They're waiting for their rescue tunnel to be completed. But one of them may not want to come back up because in addition to his wife, who else we now know is waiting for him up at the surface?
Uh-oh, his mistress?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, hi,
welcome to the entrance to the collapsed mine, where I'm waiting and praying for the safe rescue of the love of my life, Mr. Yoni Barrios. Oh, really? What a coincidence.
Me too.
Further reports say it's not just Mr. Barrios. At least five wives up top have come face-to-face with mistresses, although with one case of four women claiming the same man. Turns out, though, Tiger Woods wasn't really down there. Asked for comment on the situation developing at the surface, the miners in question started desperately digging downwards.
That is... This might sound a little misogynistic. That is the mistress's fault.
What? How?
You showing up at the mine? What, do you not think the wife was going to be there? Yeah, at the mine?
What kind of mistress are you?
Know your place, mistress. I mean, honestly, if you want to continue to be a mistress, if you go to that mine, you know, oh, this is over.
Right.
I'm going to meet the wife.
Right.
So if what you're basically saying is, you know, when you get out, this is over because I just met your wife and I don't want to be your mistress anymore. And I think that that's a terrible way to find out.
You've just alienated the entire
mistress community.
Yeah.
Listen, I would never have a mistress. So this wouldn't come up. And I'm also not a minor. So that's the two reasons.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to dip down.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Tom Baudette, Faith Saley, and Peter Gross. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Farzaneh from Kannapolis, North Carolina.
You said Farzaneh?
Yes, sir.
That's a beautiful name. What kind of name is it?
Thank you. It's an Iranian name. Mm-hmm.
And you're calling from where?
Kannapolis, North Carolina.
Kannapolis?
Yes.
I've never heard of Kannapolis, North Carolina. What's there?
It's a little bit north of Charlotte, North Carolina, and Cannon Mills used to be here, where the towels and the sheets were made.
Oh, I see. Thus we call it Kannapolis.
That's right.
The great metropolis of Kannapolis.
Kannapolis, yes.
Kannapolis.
No. Not Kannapolis. Kannapolis.
Kannapolis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kannapolis.
I'm a Tar Heel, you know.
I understand that. Well, welcome to our show, Farzaneh. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is your topic?
You know what would make the Washington Monument really great? A slide.
In these lean times, more and more people are turning to our free public spaces for recreation, only to discover that they've all gone to hell along with everything else. But this week, we heard a story about a novel and successful attempt to make a public space even more inviting to the public. Each of our panelists are going to tell you a story about a civic improvement. Guess which one is real. You'll win our prize. Ready to go?
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, first, let's hear from Tom Baudette.
Smokey Bear had it right. Only you, with $100 million of your tax dollars, can prevent forest fires. Citing the current wildfires raging in the West and in a whip-like government response to the 1988 fire in Yellowstone National Park, which destroyed one-third of the forest there, Wyoming Senator Michael Enzi has attached an earmark to a routine spending bill calling for the installation of a 1,000-square-mile automatic sprinkler system in America's national treasure. We have sprinklers in our schools and businesses. Why not in our precious parks? Said National Park spokesman Jamie Rios, not pausing for a reporter to offer 100 million reasons why not. The Yellowstone River has all the water we need, and tapping into the dozens of natural geysers will keep the system charged. Rios claims the hundreds of miles of plastic pipe gurgling hot water every hour or so will be a comfort rather than a nuisance for jumpy visitors. It's like having a million tiny Old Faithfuls. Asked what would happen to the plastic pipe if there was a fire, Rios replied, there won't be. And if there is, there won't. But what if... Listen, would the government spend this kind of money on something that didn't work?
A sprinkler system to help fight fires at Yellowstone. Your next story of an improvement to a public good comes from Peter Gross.
Life in China can be hard. There's pollution, an authoritarian regime watching your every move. They only have two HBOs. Sometimes the only solace from your troubles is a relaxing afternoon in the park. Well, not anymore. Visitors to Yantai Park in Shandong Province must now pay for the privilege of just sitting there and watching the world go by. Each of the park's benches has been fitted with a coin-operated timer that must be fed like a parking meter. But if you try and sit too long without ponying up, dozens of short, sharp spikes shoot out of the bench right into your keister. Just when you thought the Chinese government couldn't get any more repressive, they are literally going medieval on people's asses. But the government isn't just acting out of pure malice. Parks in China suffer from chronic overcrowding on the weekends when millions of people flee the congested cities. Said one official, "We have to make sure the facilities are shared out evenly, and this seems like a fair way to do it." Turns out in China, the character for fair is the same character for cruel and unusual punishment.
A public park in China where little spikes pop up if you sit too long on the bench to make sure that everybody gets a chance. Your last story of a public improvement comes from Faith Saley.
When visitors to Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro's Tijuca Forest National Park behold the Art Deco icon, its grandeur often makes them feel intoxicated. Now they can get good and drunk. That's right. In order to raise monies needed to repair damage caused by a 2008 electrical storm that singed Jesus' eyebrows, the Brazilian Wilderness Trust is opening a cafe bar inside the Redeemer's head. Construction has already begun behind Jesus' eyes, through which bar patrons will be able to survey the port of Rio while sipping their caipirinhas. So, if you can't know the mind of God, at least you can tipple in it.
So here are your choices. From Tom Baudet, a new sprinkler system set up at Yellowstone to stop those wildfires. From Peter Grosch, a park in China where little spikes pop up in benches to keep people from sitting on them too long so everybody gets a chance. Or from Faith Saley, a cafe in the head of the statue of Christ the Redeemer looming over Rio de Janeiro. Which of these is a real story of a nifty improvement to a public space?
Oh, boy. I'll go with Tom's story number one.
You're going to go with the sprinkler system at Yellowstone. Okay, because, you know, those fires are
all
awfully
tested.
That'll
right.
be nice. All right. Well, we actually spoke to someone who was involved with the real story to tell you the truth about it.
It's a regular park bench, and there are, like, metal spikes coming out of the seating area. And to throw in some money, the spikes retract, and then you can sit on it.
That was Fabian Brunsing, a German artist, of course, who designed the park bench that inspired the ones in China. We have ways of making you stand. So as is obvious by now, Peter had the true story. You did not win, but you earned a point for Tom for his very convincing and, I think, practical story of a sprinkler system in the Yellowstone National Park. So thank you so much for playing.
All right.
It was great to have you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight. From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Peter Grosch, Faith Saley, and Tom Baudet. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal. Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. In just a minute, many lives will tragically be lost when Carl goes on a murderous rhyme page in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, the New York Times reported on Republican operative Steve May. He's having great success recruiting candidates to run for office in his state of Arizona. The only problem is that all the candidates are what?
They are homeless people.
Exactly right. Mr. May is a Republican. He's been recruiting street fortune tellers, guitar players, and a bearded guy known only as Grandpa to run for office as Green Party candidates. When challenged on what seems to be a naked attempt to draw votes from legitimate Democratic candidates on the ballot, Mr. May explained that they are completely legitimate candidates who suddenly felt the urge to serve the public. And it's a savvy move on May's part, exploiting the public's perception of the Green Party. I mean, it's hard to tell the difference between a rumpled, unshaven person eating out of a can of beans and a street person. It's...
It seems to be, you know, pro forma in politics. You have to talk about your hard scrabble beginnings and how tough you had it before.
So they'll have their hard scrabble.
Yeah, they're in it. You know?
Yeah.
Our hard scrabble present.
Yeah, exactly.
Real outsiders.
You know where I woke up this morning? No, seriously, do you know where I woke up this morning?
Because I don't remember. Peter, as I'm sure you know, it's Fashion Week in New York, and the Wall Street Journal says the hottest models this year, the ones most in demand, all have what feature? For their models.
Waists.
No.
Shoulders. Bones that you can't see. I don't know.
Think Lauren Hutton has this. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Madonna. Michael Strahan.
Anna Paquin.
Oh, I know this. It's the David Letterman has it, right?
Yeah.
Gap between your teeth.
Exactly, the gap between the two front teeth. Imagine David Letterman's mouth, if you will, on the body of a much younger woman. And then you... That's the hot look in fashion this year.
I think he would like to imagine that also.
Yeah, I think that's happened.
Yes. Yeah. One fashion designer who had his orthodontist insert a gap in his front teeth named his recent collection of clothing diastema, which is the term for the space between two teeth. The journal says scars are also hot this year.
Oh, I'm in.
We can only hope the trend of finding models who stand out continues. Next year, it'll be wooden legs, open sores, and you know what they'll say. Eczema is the new black.
Who would have thought my third nipple would land me a cover girl?
There you go.
Well, there it is, right in the middle of your forehead.
Tom, city officials in West Vancouver are tired of drivers zipping through the streets near a local elementary school. So this week, instead of the standard speed bump, they're slowing cars down with what?
Actual children.
Here, Billy.
So the signs that say slow children really mean it?
Yeah. Billy, stand there and just stare that driver in the eye till he stops. He will.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to get loud speed bumps to cross the street.
I know. I'm actually going to give you the answer because you're right. It's actually a picture of a child. It's an optical illusion. What they do is they paint a little girl crossing the street on the pavement in such a very clever, elongated way so that at a certain distance from it, you look forward and you see what looks like a 3D image of a girl in the middle of the street. And well, the intended reaction is, you know, the driver says, oh, that's very clever. I shall slow down, as I'm supposed to do. The more likely reaction is, oh, no, I can't tonight, honey. I've got, oh, my God, a kid just ran into... The painting will be in place just for a week. They're allowing police to monitor its effect and just long enough for drivers to become desensitized to visions of children darting across the street. Like, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a painting, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It felt kind of real. No, they're just very good engineers.
Peter, like a lot of colleges these days, Drake University in Iowa has to advertise to attract prospective students. For this academic year, they've rebranded themselves. They got a catchy new slogan. What is it? It's very brief, but it's punchy.
Hey, Drake, give me a break.
No.
Dem's the Drakes. I don't know this, so how long would you like me to guess for it? It's short.
I'll give you... It's an abbreviation. It stands for Drake plus a lot of extra advantages.
Oh.
DR plus...
Not DR.
D plus...
D plus.
D plus.
That's their new slogan.
Plus.
D plus.
Oh, I get a bell for that.
You do. We grade in the same curve as Drake, apparently. So we'll give you the...
Wow.
The quote, D plus campaign was supposed to, quote, catch the attention of high school students who are bombarded with college and university materials, unquote, presumably by hinting that this was a college where they could slack off and squeak by with the lowest passing grade possible, just like they're doing in high school. After a slew of criticism, Drake pulled the D-plus logo off their website. They've replaced it with a new campaign, Drake University's Happening, or Duh. Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website. It's waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, or our upcoming shows in Oklahoma City on September 23rd and Philadelphia, PA on October 28th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Tom Yerby from Warrens, Texas.
Hey, Tom. How are things in Texas?
A little warm today.
Yeah, what do you do there?
I'm in nursing school.
Nursing school. You're going to be a nurse, going to go into the profession. I got to say, I was in the hospital recently, and it's the nurses who, like, take care of you. You see the doctor, maybe if you're lucky, for a minute every other day. It's the nurses who are there who do the hard stuff. So I'm greatly appreciative.
And run the show.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. Welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Your job, of course, fill in that last word or phrase correctly into the limericks. Do that, you'll be a winner. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here's your first limerick.
When the groove starts, are your limbs askance? Well, with these tips, you might stand a chance. Just move your whole body, then you'll be a hottie. Yes, ladies do judge how you...
dance?
Yes! So researchers recently asked 37 straight women to watch CGI footage of men dancing and to, quote, pinpoint their killer moves, unquote. This data was then used to determine what exactly separates a good dancer from a bad dancer. Their findings, the ability to move different parts of your body, not just your head, preferably doing it all at once and preferably in time with the music. That's right, months of research, countless dollars spent to prove the key to being good at dancing is to be good at dancing.
Okay, first of all, they actually, CGI, they created avatars for women to look at, well, which I think is weird.
Like, no, there was a reason for this. Because they didn't want the women to be affected by how attractive or not the men would be. They wanted it to be just abstract dancing.
Okay, all right. So then they found that the best dancers, per the women's opinion...
Yeah, well, I like when he did that, yes.
Were men who moved their heads, necks, and torsos. This is not good news for Michael Flatley.
No. This is bad news. He'll never get a date again. He's wondered why he's never gotten a date. Look, my legs are moving, nothing else. And women are like, I don't care. Yeah. All right, here's your next limerick.
Dumb or lazy, whatever the case is, we need Velcro to hold things in places. So new high-tech shoes are very good news. These sneakers will tie their own...
laces.
Yes! This is America! And in America, we don't like to do things when we have technology to do it for us. Things like bending over or moving our hands. Which is why we assume Nike has patented sneakers that tie themselves. It's a start. Fine, it's a start. It's great that they tie themselves, but how will we get them on our feet? And how will we get them to walk for us? Then let's talk.
I think this is sad. I think we've taken away all the benchmarks of youth. Like, this is how old I am. I can remember when my parents said, you are allowed to turn the TV channel when you're 8. And I was so excited because we couldn't touch. I mean, this is before remote controls.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm 82 years old. So on my 8th birthday, I was very excited to be able to walk up to the TV and turn the channel.
Right.
Or kids don't do that now.
Your parents should have brought you a present.
On my 8th birthday?
Yeah, on your 8th birthday, they were like, this is something that all 8-year-olds get. That's a rite of passage. Yeah. Oh, like the bat mitzvah or a christening. Yeah. You may now go and...
And next year you can use the toaster.
Yes. That could be a present. Here is your last limerick.
Of a few things, we men are obsessed. Now a ringtone will help in our quest. We're hoping that maybe subliminal babies... will help women grow larger.
Breath.
Yes! Scientists in Japan, where else, say they've come up with a cell phone ringtone which will also ask as a breast enhancer. They say by listening to it 20 times a day for 10 days, your breasts will increase by an inch. So one of the inventors, quote, it's a technique involving subliminal effects like positive brainwashing. This is interesting. Lots of unforeseen problems here. If the guy you're dating keeps calling you over and over, is it an insult? No, I love you the way you are. Let me call you back. No, really, I love you the way you are. Let me call you back. No. No, you're perfect, baby. Let me call you back.
It's just nice to know that the Japanese are finally focusing some of that sexual energy on human beings and not robots.
Yeah, that's true. Carl, how did Tom do on our show?
Well, Tom had a perfect game, Peter. 3 correct answers, so Tom, you win our prize.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tom, for playing.
Thank you.
Now it's on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. It's inflation. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Tom Beaudet has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Faith Saley and Peter Gross are tied for second. Each has 2.
Okay.
Wait, he has 4 and we have 2?
Exactly.
Oh, man. We're never going to win.
Thank you. We flipped a coin, and Peter has elected to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. In what experts hope is the start of a trend, the number of people filing for blank benefits fell this week.
Unemployment.
Right. Firefighters worked to contain the wildfires that have forced hundreds of people to evacuate in blank.
Colorado.
Right. For the first time in many months, blank held a full press conference on Friday.
President Obama.
Right. America's Got Talent judge Piers Morgan was announced as the replacement for CNN talk show host blank.
Larry King.
Right. An Illinois man pulled over for driving 100 miles per hour, told police he was driving so fast in an effort to blank.
Drive 100 miles an hour.
No. Dry off his wet car. A Japanese journalist being held in Afghanistan was released after tricking his captors into letting him send a message on blank.
Twitter.
Right. Stored for 70 years in an attic, rare color footage of Germany's World War II attack on blank was discovered.
Germany attacked London?
Yes. Boston police officers settled a dispute between two neighbors who both claimed to own a blank.
Mail order bride.
No, they both claimed to own a 5-foot-tall marijuana plant growing in the backyard. Police responded to reports of this huge plant growing there. When they tried to arrest the woman who claimed to own it, her neighbor came out and said, "No, it's mine! The giant marijuana plant is mine!" And both were arrested. Carl, how did Peter do in our quiz?
Peter had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points and has taken the lead.
Well done.
That is a lot more points than Tom has right now. I'm winning by a lot.
All right.
Maybe we should stop now.
Faith, you're up next. Fill in the blank. In its investigative report on the Deepwater Horizon disaster, blank spread the blame among its contractors.
BP.
Right. In response to pressure from numerous groups, classified's website blank shut down its adult services section.
Craigslist.
Right. Being involved in a car accident Thursday morning did not keep New England's Patriots quarterback blank away from practice.
Oh, you know, Giselle's husband, Tom Brady.
Right. A British man abandoned his attempt to steal a car when the owner blanked.
Threw up on him.
No, jumped into the passenger seat naked. For the 6th time, Mark David Chapman, the man who killed blank, was denied parole.
John Lennon.
Right. Suspended after his meltdown on a flight last month, flight attendant Steven Slater and blank officially parted ways this week.
JetBlue.
Right. A 26-year-old gamer was accused of violating Xbox Live's online gaming code of conduct when he registered his town blank.
As a levy.
No. Fort Gay, West Virginia. Microsoft didn't think the name Fort Gay was funny. Never mind that Fort Gay was actually the name of the town where he lived. They refused to budge even when the mayor got involved and Moore begged them to Google the zip code. See, it's really Fort Gay. Microsoft eventually apologized to, quote, the good people of Fort Homosexual, West Virginia. Carl, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Faith had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 12. Peter Gross still has the lead with 14 points.
Excellent. Excellent work, Peter. So how many, then, does Tom need to win?
5 to tie, 6 to win outright.
All right, Tom, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. According to a government official, one of the 3 American hikers detained in blank since 2009 will be released.
Iran.
Right. In a surprising interview with The Atlantic, former Cuban president blank said his country's economic model didn't work.
Fidel Castro.
Right. On Wednesday, the search engine blank launched a new feature that provides links to topics as you type.
Google.
Right. A group of Marines recaptured a ship that had been hijacked off the coast of Somalia by blanks.
Pirates?
Right. 2 Australian men were arrested after they were caught blanking in a McDonald's parking lot.
Australian men. Geez, drinking.
No. Wrestling a 5-foot python named Boris.
I could have guessed that.
Twitter has revealed that at any given time, 3% of its servers are dedicated to teen heartthrob blank.
Oh, that Justin Bieber.
That's the guy. Officials said this week that they're considering whether or not to strip football player Reggie Bush of his blank.
Oh, the Heisman Trophy.
Right. Miss Australia revealed to the press that she'd have been sabotaged at the Miss Universe competition when blank.
Oh, when 2 guys wrestled a 5-foot python.
No. When her dress was booby-trapped. Jacinta Campbell had finally revealed to the world why she only placed third in the Miss Universe competition. Her dress was booby-trapped with pins. Her protest didn't get too far because all the reporters were immediately like, ha-ha, she said booby. Carl, did Tom do well enough to win?
He needed six correct answers to win outright, and he had six
correct answers. Whoa, Tom Baudet.
15 points.
Thank
Tom Baudet. Is this
way to take it away from that gross upstart. Nicely done.
Thank you very much.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what next book will be threatened with burning and why. But first, NPR is supported by NPR member stations and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. Kauffman Foundation, educating entrepreneurs about how to start and grow businesses through Kauffman Fast Track at fasttrack.org. And the Joyce Foundation, working to improve the quality of life in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern, we welcome her, is Blythe Haga. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac here at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, well, just about every week, is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what book will be nominated for burning next? Tom Baudet.
Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, just because. And it will, oddly enough, catch fire at 408 degrees.
Faith Saley.
Fat evangelical nymphomaniacs will burn Eat, Pray, Love because it led them down the path of self-destruction.
And Peter Gross.
Pastor Terry Jones will burn the autobiography of Terry Jones to draw attention to the important issue of Pastor Terry Jones.
And if any of those books are set aflame, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle, and welcome back. Thanks also to Peter Gross, Faith Saley, and Tom Baudet. Thanks to all of you for listening. You listen well, and we appreciate it. My name is Peter Sagal. We will be back with you next week. This is NPR.